Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Louisville, Kentucky is James Rose. James is Managing Director of Sunhawk Consulting. James, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Glad to be here. I look forward to the conversation.
As do I, because we're getting into a topic that comes up increasingly, which is sort of the nexus between compliance risk assessment and enterprise risk management. Now, I know it's kind of basic, but I thought it would be good if you could begin by describing the differences between a compliance risk assessment and enterprise risk management.
Well, let's first talk about enterprise risk management. I mean, you're starting with the organization's overall strategic and financial objectives. So you're coming at it from the standpoint of goals internal to the organization. When you shift to a compliance risk assessment, I mean, as you said, it's you know, the basic point there is that you're focused on regulatory compliance, and some might also include contractual compliance. But those goals are really set outside the organization in terms of regulatory stakeholders and other organizations. So, at times those can seem to be in conflict. And so part of the whole exercise is the setup for our conversation today is how do we bring those concepts together?
Now, there's already some overlap between them. Where do they traditionally overlap?
Well, I mean, first off, the uncertainty principle there. When you're thinking about enterprise risks, you can't have absolute clarity about what's going to occur in terms of your competitors, in terms of pricing, in terms of economic forecasting. And so you have to project that. From a compliance standpoint, clearly you want to always be compliant. That's a given. But the degree to which your organization has the resolve or the knowledge or the consistency of staff effort to ensure compliance day to day, that's an uncertainty. So certainly you're overlapping from that standpoint in terms of how you manage uncertainty. Prioritization is something that's key in both, but that's certainly how you prioritize compliance risk and whether you're going to add resources to be compliant versus enterprise risk is something we can chat a bit more about in a second. I guess the last two areas where you've got the consistency is really the C-suite buy-in. To what degree do you have buy-in from your executive leadership around overall risk management? And then underneath the C-suite, the process owners. At the end of the day, the process owners are the key to be managing risk. And so if you've got their buy-in or don't, that's going to go a long way in determining your success around risk management.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand with the business unit's commitment or not. Now, let's go to something you alluded to earlier, which is areas for potential conflict. What are the areas where compliance and enterprise risk management can be in conflict with each other?
Well, compliance can be seen as an absolute, yes and no, are we compliant or not, depending on the situation and the clarity of the requirements. The bigger issue here is where's the clear mandate in terms of prioritization around compliance risk vis-a-vis other initiatives, and that can be problematic. When you're, I've said in lots of executive sessions, facilitated executive sessions, where you're doing prioritization efforts around resource allocation, and in an ERM setting, you're doing that around what are the biggest risks to the enterprise and how do we get more comfortable with achieving our strategic and financial objectives. And then along comes the compliance elements, and there's a need or a perspective that, from the compliance part of the world, that we have to prioritize all of them. And from an executive leadership perspective, thinking about the overall needs of the organization and only so many dollars to go around, that's generally not the case. They're looking at, IT initiatives, digital initiatives, strategic consumer initiatives, new product offerings, other things that all have to come into play in terms of finite resources for organization. So you've got to work through that conflict to understand, when we talk about compliance, are we talking about something that's absolute, something that we've got to get in front of, and what are those elements versus those areas where we have uncertainty? There's a risk that we may not be as compliant as we should be, that it's something that we need to shore up. And so how do we incrementally add resources but realize that we also have to take in consideration other enterprise goals for the overall organization's health?
It's a tough situation. Now, one concern is that most risks a company take are risks that are insurable, things like having a factory close to a river where there's a risk of flood. Are there and there are risks such as new business ventures. All of these are acceptable risks to take. Risking breaking a law is of a different category. I mean, how do you ensure people know that the compliance risks aren't just another risk in the bucket that you can, buy an insurance policy for?
Well, I think there's a couple of perspectives. First, the premise that every compliance risk or breaking the law is black and white. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's absolute in terms of your intention to either follow the law or not, and so that's shouldn't be on the table or gets into the conversation around the organization's value proposition. Other times, it's a matter of how well do we shore up our risk of being non-compliant? And what I mean by that, let's take billing. In a lot of our healthcare organizations, we know that billing errors occur, and they may occur every day. Hopefully not at a large level, but billing errors occur. And so, in theory, if you're billing a government organization, that's inappropriate. So now, how do we deal with that? What's the adequacy of the control environment? How much quality control do we need to have in place? Are there systemic issues that we're dealing with? Are these episodic? And so it's just reminding billing clerks or coding staff around proper procedures, constant training. What at the end of the day, what's reasonable in terms of quality control in that space? And so you take that non-compliance risk, which isn't not following the law. It's just a matter of what level of risk around billing errors is acceptable and reasonable in our business world, and how do we shore that up? And so that's where a compliance officer has to come in with the lens of the overall compliance environment and overall value proposition of the organization, and thinking about how do I advocate for resources in this space, sometimes maybe working with in conjunction with that business process leader we talked about before, to ensure that there's a high quality state for that component of the organization.
Now, how can compliance teams best prepare themselves to engage with a broader enterprise risk management team?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to focus on. So first, know the overall strategy of the organization and know what the top risks are of the strategy. When you are there to advocate and be part of the enterprise risk management discussion, and you're preparing yourself to work with others in the C-suite and advocate and prioritize for compliance risks, you need to be able to articulate and have a valid conversation around the organization's overall risks. You can't just come in and talk about compliance risk. You need to be part of the conversation around business strategy and other risk. And again, not to be seen as the expert in that space, because that's not your role, but to be able to involve yourself in those conversations, because that builds credibility around your thinking and perspective around the overall organization's goals. So then you're set up to have a better conversation, a better advocacy around compliance risk and how that fits in to those other organizational objectives. And the second thing is, be prepared at times to talk about the needs of the overall compliance program and expectations externally. We think about the Department of Justice guidance that came out in April 2019 around things that DOJ would ask about in terms of, is there a valid compliance program in place? Risk assessment and remediation of key risk is certainly a key part of that. So how do we demonstrate that in our organization? And then, finally, think about it from the standpoint of, a lot of folks from a cultural standpoint see the government as, the regulator, the tax man. What do I do to avoid them, if you will? We need to turn that on its head a bit. We need to think about the government as, one of our customers, the regulator as a customer. If you think about the relationship between like a Procter and Gamble and a Walmart, Procter and Gamble is trying to sell services to Walmart. Walmart is providing a host of what would be seen as regulations and minutiae around how to provide goods, provide inventory, deliver the good on this day, put it on the shelf in my store yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And so the packaged goods firms, you know, the Procter and Gamble's of the world are, you know, have to deal with a lot of what would be seen, you know, equivalent in our space of, as regulations and minutia of things that they have to deal with. But they do it because they see that's the way they get to the customer, and that's what the organization is that their key customers asking them to do. And so when you bring it back to healthcare and our work with the government times and being lawful, it's a matter of thinking about the government as a key customer, just as a patient that would walk in a door, a beneficiary we're selling in terms of a health plan. You know, they're all constituencies that we need to understand and appreciate their requirements. And so as a compliance officer, you know, you've got to advocate across all those three lines when you go into the C-suite and make your pitch for prioritizing resources to deal with a compliance risk.
And there's a lot there. And I think that advice also holds true, not just for healthcare companies, but defense and other government contractors, of which, you know, frankly, a large number of companies really are, whether they may think of themselves primarily as government contractors or not. Well, James, thanks for sharing that insight with us today. I also want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.